Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Lions podcast. That's B-L-E-A-V. I'm your host, as always, Jack Cavanaugh at Javanaugh87. And of course, I am joined once again by a man who has a couple wins with the Lions back in his day and more than a couple interceptions, leading the NFL in interceptions. It's all pro safety, Glover Quinn.
What's up, man? What is up? What is up? It is NFL game week. It's go time.
It's go time, and it's a great time to be back. I am so excited. I can't believe it's already here. Summer went by so fast.
Oh, yeah. And I remember doing, we did a podcast in the summer, and I was saying, like, hey, man, this is a slow time of the year. Enjoy your summer, go do something fun, because football season will be back, and when it's go time, it's go time. So I hope you guys did something fun. I hope you enjoyed your summer break, got a little bit of whatever, got away from the game a little bit, and you missed it, and now it's back for a lot of months, so we can be happy and celebrate.
It's back. We can be happy. We can celebrate, and hopefully we can celebrate a win in week one, something that I'm sure you're familiar with. But what was your favorite week one memory kicking off the season? Is there anything that beats your NFL debut with the Houston Texans, or is that kind of the peak?
Oh, man. My NFL debut was, it was crazy. It was fun. We played against the Jets. You know, we was at home. Mark Sanchez was quarterback, and you know, my role was more so special teams, and I was a nickel guy. And you know, I would come in the Jets at that time, you know, the NFL was different, so they ran a lot of 12 personnel running sets and stuff like that. And so I would come in the game on third downs, and it would be like critical situation, right, trying to get out the field. And I was never a super great cover guy, like man-to-man corner like that. So I was in there on like Chauncey Stuckey, little quick slot guy. And, you know, he converted a couple of third downs on me, but it was fun. It was a learning experience. I battled, and that was week one, and we lost the game. And, but it was a great moment for me just to be out there, have my family in the stands, and you know, to realize a dream come true, to be actually playing in a real NFL game. But I will say, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's a great opening day just because. But, you know, my time in Detroit, man, my opening days in Detroit, you know, I think for 4 out of the 6 seasons or something like that, I think I opened up day one with an interception, 2013, 14, 15, and maybe 17. So I think 4 out of the 6 years, I opened up week one with an interception. And it's just always great to get off to a good start into the season. And, Yeah, man. I remember Monday night against the Giants, 2014. That was a great, you know, start of a great year for our team. And, you know, to catch an interception against Eli Manning on Monday Night Football, that was huge. So I always love opening day. That's just fun. And it's a great time to get off to a great start.
Bet Online is your number one source for your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. Bet Online, where the game starts. And hopefully these Detroit Lions can get off to a similarly great start like you had. Maybe Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Kirby Joseph. Someone has to get an interception in honor of Glover Quinn. Start the season off hot. And picking off Patrick Mahomes in game one, that's a pretty big deal, especially when the Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites over the Detroit Lions. They are favored to win by pretty much a touchdown. What do you think about that?
Man, that's, you know, I mean, they're going to give the Chiefs, you know, that they're Super Bowl champions. They're playing against the Detroit Lions and, you know, for however great, you know, we see the Detroit Lions locally, fan base wise, they still have to garner that respect nationally. And to do that, they got to continue with what they started last year and how they finished last year. Having the Hard Knocks last year opened up a lot of people's eyes to some things in Detroit. And then the way they finished the season on prime time against Aaron Rodgers, to win that game, like I said, no, they didn't make the playoffs. But to finish up the way they finished up last year, opened up some eyes on national TV, and then to have an offseason, now they come back and get to start the season on national TV. Yeah, the national people are going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so, right? They've been consistently good for the last few years, and they've, you know, been in Super Bowls every year, won a couple of them. So rightfully so, they deserve that respect. And so this is the time for the Lions to step up and show that they're ready to compete at that level and go out and upset some people, either winning a game or, you know, keeping it close and beating Vegas and the odds makers and all those things. This is the time for them to do that. And, you know, I think they have what it takes. So we just got to go out and do it.
I believe you are correct here. The 6.5 points, that is what really hangs me up. I understand picking the Kansas City Chiefs in week one. Obviously, they're the reigning Super Bowl champions. They have the best quarterback in the NFL. It makes sense. But 6.5 points almost feels a little bit disrespectful. Granted, it is in Kansas City. Usually they add 3 points if you're the home team. Arrowhead, I don't know if they add anymore. And speaking of Arrowhead, this is Jared Goff's first journey to Arrowhead. That's the one stadium he hasn't played in is Kansas City. Do you have any thoughts on that? Any advice for Jared Goff heading into Arrowhead or just business as usual?
I would say just business as usual, because even for me, I only played in Arrowhead one time and it was my first ever game. My first ever preseason game, 2009. First time ever going on a NFL field. We were playing Kansas City Chiefs week one in the preseason, my rookie year. And, you know, it was a pretty good debut for me. And, you know, the couple plays that I had, you know, I ran down on kickoff and blew some stuff up, made tackles on kickoff, just like, you know, played a little corner going against Dwayne Bowe. Back then, you know, the players played a little bit in the preseason. Didn't play much, but they played a little bit. And then obviously Kansas City probably wasn't what it was now, but Arrowhead was still nice. It was loud and it was a preseason game. So, you know, they've gained and did a lot more over the years. And so it'll be rocking. You know, it's going to be exciting. It's the opening night. They're celebrating a Super Bowl win. So for Jared Goff, he just got to come in and just do what he do. Can't get caught up in being arrowhead. Can't get caught up in any of that stuff. He just got to come in and do what he do, control his team, have his team ready to go, communicate effectively, you know, pre-snap, all those things. Make sure everybody's on the same page. Make sure the O-line is on the same page for protection. You know, they don't have Chris Jones in the middle this game as of right now. So that's a big help. And so if they can protect and give him some time, I think they can light up the Chiefs secondary. And you know, you putting up points, you can quieten the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, Chris Jones being out, that is probably the biggest storyline heading into this matchup. He's holding out. He forfeited over $2 million in fines through training camp. He's going to miss over $1 million in game checks every game that he misses. But he sees it as worth it to achieve his ultimate goal of reaching that ultimate payday. Regardless, I don't think he's playing versus the Lions. It seems very unlikely that he shows up on Monday and says, "Hey, coach, I'm here to play Thursday." So what do you do? Do you change the game plan? Are you going to emphasize running up the middle more? Are you going to take pressure off the interior offensive line and pass protection? What are you doing to exploit that weakness?
Well, I mean, I think for the Lions, you know, I think they've, I mean, this is not something that just happened, right? This is not an injury that happened 3 days before the game. You know what I'm saying? When you were game planning for him to be there. He hasn't been there all spring. He hasn't been there all summer. He hasn't been there all training camp. And, you know, those guys have inside scoops and they know how close people are to getting deals and not getting deals. So I don't even know if they've even prepared for him to even be there. So how they plan to attack them, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm sure it frees up some blocking scheme things for them. Far as, you know, double teams or run plays that they could try, you know, it's different when you're having to block a premier guy right there in the middle that can disrupt your whole play right there in the middle, right? That's why Aaron Donald can be so disruptive. He's right there over the ball right there in the middle. He can disrupt your whole play. And so you got to develop blocking schemes to try to slow those guys down. And so not having him there, I don't know who their backup will be. But he's not Chris Jones. And so we'll see how they plan to come out and attack. You got to look at the Lions runners. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think he's more of a off tackle to outside type of guy. Get on the edge, get downhill type of guy. But then you look at Montgomery, he may be more of a right downhill, you know, A and B gap, you know, runner. And so not having Chris Jones in the middle could loom big for Kansas City and, you know, could help Detroit Lions out a lot.
I think it's going to help them out a lot. Anytime you don't have to play against a premier playmaker like that, it is to your advantage. Hopefully they can capitalize with a strong offensive line, one that they view as having six starters on the offensive line, still haven't announced who's going to be starting at right guard, whether it's Hal Vitae, whether it's Graham Glasgow. Doesn't matter. Either way, the Lions are confident. Are you confident in this offense? And what are your checks? What are your points of emphasis for this Detroit Lions offense against Kansas City Chiefs in week one?
Well, I think first of all, Jared Goff needs to start off the season the way he finished last year. I think he had zero interceptions in the last few games, right? Through 15, 16 touchdowns, no interceptions down the stretch, right? So you need to start out that way. Don't turn the ball over, right? Don't give Patrick Mahomes any more opportunities than he's going to get anyway, right? So let's protect the ball offensively. You know, you got Jahmyr Gibbs, running back. He's a rookie, played at a high level at Alabama, but this is the NFL. Let's protect the ball. We don't need any fumbles or anything like that, right, to give the Chiefs more momentum, more energy, more possessions. Let's protect the quarterback. Right. We don't need to be getting behind in the downs. Right. We need to stay on track. Second and six or less, third and threes or less. We don't need to be getting, you know, pre-snap penalties. And now we're in first and 15s and holdings, and now we're in first and 20s and second and 15 and third and 12s. We don't need a lot of those things. Let's stay on track, you know, avoid the pre-snap penalties, avoid turning the ball over, protecting the quarterback. And then, you know, your playmakers got to make some plays. Amon-Ra St. Brown got to come alive on third down. Jahmyr Gibbs got to be the back that we drafted him to be out of the backfield, running the ball and receiving, giving the Lions a lot of versatility in the things that they can do. And everybody else just got to pitch in and play their role. Like I've always said, I don't think they have one just surefire superstar outside of, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, probably the biggest name as a wide receiver. But they've played well as a unit. You know, Khalif Raymond, they added Marvin Jones. You know, the tight ends get in where they can get in. So I think that'll be the biggest thing. Spread the ball around, stay ahead in the downs, and don't hurt yourself. And I think you give yourself a better chance.
And that kind of feels like what the Lions offense is going to have to be for at least the first 6 weeks until Jameson comes back. And then we can talk about it being different then. But until then, I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's going to have his 6, 7, 8, 9 receptions. And outside of that, like you said, it's going to be 3 or 4 receptions to Marvin Jones, but one of them's going to be in a critical moment. Khalif Raymond's going to have 3 catches, but one of them's going to be a big play. Stuff like that, where everyone has just a different role in the offense. It's going to be more like a basketball team rather than what you typically see from an offense like the Rams have been historically, where they've got their 3 guys and that's it. Those 3 guys just play. Lions are going to have a lot of rotation, but looking at Kansas City, I think they're going to have a lot of rotation at wide receiver as well. Kadarius Toney hasn't played a whole lot in the preseason. He's been dealing with a knee injury. Sky Moore, second-year receiver, he's hoping to break out. Of course, they still have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the Lions' old foe. So Mahomes is going to be spreading the ball around to those guys. But again, at the end of the day, this is the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce offense. So as a defensive mind, what are you going to be looking at? How would you How would you attempt to slow down the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce?
Well, I mean, I think one thing they're going to try to do, you know, you got to have eyes on Patrick Mahomes. And Travis Kelce. You got to know where Travis Kelce is and understand how they're trying to use him. You know, he's not a super downfield tight end, but he's a intermediate killer, right? Crossing routes, corner routes. He just got a great feel for work in the middle, understanding how to get open. And Patrick Mahomes waits on him, and he can get him the ball. When you look at their wide receivers, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you said Kadarius Toney has been dealing with injuries. Sky Moore, still a young guy. I don't, you know, outside of them having a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, I don't think the Lions will fear their wide receivers like that. Obviously, Valdes-Scantling can go up top. And Sky Moore, those guys have ability. And with Patrick Mahomes, they can turn into elite wide receivers, don't get me wrong. But I think they really got to stop Travis Kelce. And I don't know if they'll come out the game and see, you know, if Tracy Walker can hold up. Because I wouldn't be surprised if they go on third down or passing situations, go with some type of dime package or some kind of package and bring Tracy in as a safety, a dime to cover Travis Kelce, right? So that now you can keep, you know, Branch on the slot. You can keep, you know, CJ and Kirby Joseph deep and do some different things in with your two man, with your two high safeties and let Tracy see if he can slow down Travis Kelce, and then you can mix in some double teams here and there and just see how it goes, right? I don't know if they approach it as, hey, we're going to make sure we don't get beat over the top. If Travis Kelce goes for 200 yards, that's fine, keep everything underneath, but we can't get beat over the top, right? So we're going to make sure we're not giving up deep balls to Scantling or Sky Moore big plays. And you know, if Travis Kelce has 10 catches for 120 yards, that's fine. Keep him out of the end zone. Let him work underneath. Let's keep battling. Or if they're going to say, hey, we're going to take Travis Kelce out of the game. We're going to double him from the get-go. Make sure he doesn't get going and force Sky Moore and Valdes-Scantling to beat us and see if those guys have taken that step to become those guys. So we'll see early what their plan is. I will hope they mix it up some. You know what I'm saying? Mix it up. Show some double teams on Travis Kelce, but don't double him. You know, let Tracy work one-on-one. You know, show some one-on-one coverage, but then come with a late double and just mix it up. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, but you got to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes so he don't have time to just sit there and just pick you apart, right? So Aiden Hutchinson, James Houston, you know, all those guys that's going to be rushing the quarterback, they got to get some pressure on Patrick Mahomes.
And that's kind of the issue with it's the issue with all great quarterbacks is you want to have them under pressure because they can pick you apart. But Patrick Mahomes especially is just so different. What he can do both in the structure and out of the structure when he's under pressure and he's escaping the pocket, it's just insane the things he is capable of. That's why Dan Campbell says his preference, the way they're going to attack it, is make Mahomes go backwards, start running away from the line of scrimmage, and never let him turn around when he can throw it, which sounds great on paper, not actually going to be the game plan. But we do love these Dan Campbell quotes, because really, what do you do with Patrick Mahomes? He is just that talented, both in structure, he can carve you up in the pocket, and then he goes out, he escapes the pocket, and then he hits you downfield, MVS 60-yard touchdown.
Right. I mean, he's a special guy. He's a special talent. He can do it all. We don't give him a lot of credit for his running ability because he throws so great out of the pocket, but you've seen time and time again where he can break the pocket and he'll scramble for 15, 20, 30 yards. And a lot of that is because teams don't play him for the scramble. So they don't mind. He don't get a lot of spy coverages, spy things where they got somebody set for Patrick Mahomes, right? Like a Lamar Jackson or even a Josh Allen. You know, guys like that, they're going to get different coverages because you know they are a threat to run the ball, right? Patrick Mahomes don't get a lot of that. So when he do decide to break out and run, there's not a lot of guys underneath to tackle him. So he can run 15, 20 yards until somebody even get close to him. So that means your D-line has to do a great job of not letting him break the pocket. And he don't mind stepping up in the pocket. But, you know, for the most part, the plays that I can remember from Patrick Mahomes is he wants to break to the outside of the pocket. I don't see him stepping up in the middle of the pocket that much, but he'll break to the outside. And once he get outside now, you know, you got to hold on to your seatbelt.
Yeah, playing against a guy like that in the secondary, it's easy to lose the man that you're covering, the man in your zone, which again leads to Travis Kelce getting open so often over the middle and just plays you'd never expect him to make.
Oh yeah, and you know they've been playing for so long, they got, you know, great chemistry. You know, when Patrick gets in trouble, he knows exactly where Kelsey's going to be. I mean, I saw a clip in the preseason where Patrick Mahomes broke out to like the right side of the field and Travis Kelce had ran a route or did something and he was on the complete opposite side of the field. And Patrick Mahomes breaks out scrambling toward on the right side of the field and Travis Kelce is running down the left side of the field, still holding his hands up like, hey, I'm way over here. Like, I mean, he got his hands up like he's expecting Patrick to see him and throw the ball all the way back across the field. And it's like, that's the chemistry that they have and that the belief that they have that, hey, man, Patrick can get me the ball anywhere on the field. He's clearly on the opposite side of the field. He don't even see me over here, but I got my hands up just in case. Why? Because that's Patrick Mahomes and he can make those type of plays. So you got to just do a great job of keeping your eyes on your luggage. That's what we used to say. Keep your eyes on your luggage. Keep your eyes on your guys. When he break the pocket, you can't get caught up in watching him. You got to watch your guys because those guys have scramble rules. Most teams have scramble rules. And, you know, you can study those scramble rules, you know, on film. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they got tape over the last couple of years of them. I know when we used to play Green Bay, you know, we used to look at their scramble rules, right? The short guys would go deep. The deep guys would come back. The guys on the sideline that were short, they'll break off deep, and then they'll stop and make a comeback, right? So you see all those guys used to get open. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, all those guys that play with Green Bay. You know, Aaron Rodgers go to scrambling around. They had scramble rules, and you had to study the rules and understand what's going to happen, right? These guys are short. They're going to go, and then they're going to come back because if they take off and you take off, think, okay, here come the deep ball, they're going to stop, and then Aaron Rodgers is going to throw, and they're going to pick up 25 yards. And so you got to understand what Kansas City's scramble rules are, what they're trying to do, what their players doing, how they'd like to break out when Patrick Mahomes starts to scramble. And you just got to be locked in for four quarters.
That sounds like a lot, especially you practiced it. You played it. You saw it in real life. Aaron Rodgers, his scramble drill, very similar to Patrick Mahomes. And so it's just a lot of studying is what I'm hearing. Just a lot of, hey, this is what we got to do, no matter how long, whether it's 5, 6, 7 seconds that Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes is back there. These are the rules that we got to follow.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know it. You got to know that. That's why you study film, right? You have to know what guys are going to do. And, you know, that leads me to, you know, I was watching some college football this weekend. Obviously, it was a great weekend for college football opening up. And, you know, you see all these talented guys. You see all these talented guys, right? And I was sitting there saying, like, man, why don't all these talented guys in college football, why can't they have long NFL careers? Like, what happened to these guys? Like, what happens to these guys? And the college game is so much different than the NFL game right now. Just watching college football. And I'm sitting there like, and this is all honesty. I'm literally looking at the game in college and I'm like, man, the field in college looks so much wider than the field in the NFL. Like, do they play on different fields? No, I know they don't play on different fields, but it seems like, I don't know if it's just the way they do the hashes, because the hashes are different in college than they are in the NFL. But it's like, and then the formations that you can do in college is different than what you can do in the NFL. So it's a lot of differences, but it just looks like there's so much space. And you got these teams that are running these spread offenses, and these defenders don't really have much of a chance with some of the stuff that they're doing. And so you get to the NFL and you wonder, why can't these guys survive? You know, because the game is different. Everybody's good. The talent is there. The margin of error is so small. And it's all about the details. It's all about the finer details. And a lot of these guys go through college surviving really off of athletic ability and being just better or bigger or stronger than all these guys. And they don't really learn the intricacies of the game, right? They don't really learn the intricacies of the game. And so then they struggle when they get to the next level. And so that's why you see guys that come from programs with NFL coaches or with guys that played, and they have understanding of the intricacies of the game, and they can teach you the intricacies of the game so that your athletic ability can shine brighter. And then those guys transition to the next level and play well. And so it's a different game. And the ones that do it well, they do it well. So studying, you know, scramble patterns and route concepts and body language and all these different things, that's what make you a great player, because you got to get every little advantage that you can get, because these guys are really good.
They're really freaking good. Even in college, all the way through to the NFL, the talent there is just so supreme. And it's those little bits of edges that separate the great from the good to the guys that don't hack it. And we saw one of the most famous examples has to be Johnny Manziel, coming from Texas A&M, goes to the Cleveland Browns and admits, I never studied. I didn't read a single minute of my playbook, didn't watch a single second of film. But then you look at his teammate, Mike Evans. Mike Evans, year after year after year, is a 1,000-yard receiver, just dominates for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now we come to a crossroads, because the Buccaneers have not offered Mike Evans a contract. He is giving them until kickoff week one to reach a new deal. If the deal isn't reached by the time they kick off, then it's done. They'll negotiate after the season, or Mike Evans will leave in free agency, which has some Lions fans speculating that Mike Evans could end up coming to Detroit in a trade. But we've heard this all offseason that Lions fans, they wanted an outside X receiver. They were hoping for Corey Davis from the Jets, and then he retired. And now they've shifted all their attention to Mike Evans. Is this just a pipe dream of a team that is desperate for a big name player? Is this just hope?
I mean, it could happen. I mean, as a Lions fan, you would hope that trade would have happened last week, right? I mean, getting Mike Evans is already Monday. They're playing on Thursday. So getting Mike Evans Tuesday, I mean, may help them during the season, but it doesn't help them against the Kansas City Chiefs. So if they were going to make that trade, I would have hoped they could have made that trade before week one. But, you know, like anything is possible. And the Lions may look at, you know, if Kansas City doesn't get a deal done. I mean, not Kansas City, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doesn't get a deal done and, you know, you're sitting there looking at it and you're like, okay, well, let's see, you know, if they're not going to get a deal done, now he's going to enter free agency or whatever. Tampa Bay may not want to just let him walk for free. So maybe they be willing to trade because, you know, they, you know, Tom Brady era is over. So they're probably going into rebuild right now. I mean, I feel like Baker Mayfield is a part of the rebuilding. You know, he's not the guy that they feel like they're going to win a Super Bowl with. So I think they're going to be a part of the rebuilding. And, you know, and if Baker's not getting Mike the ball, you know, Mike's, you know, he's going to be upset. And, you know, he's had all these consecutive years of 1,000 yards. And, you know, so he wants to keep that up, I'm sure. You know, he may not ever say it while he's playing. But I've been there, right? You done got this far. And he probably didn't start out with that goal. Right. But after you've done it four seasons in a row and then you look up, you've done it seven seasons in a row. Now you're like, hold on. I'm at like 10 seasons in a row with 1,000 yards. So then it becomes like, OK. And, you know, when you look at it over the, I mean, records like that is really based off of just him being durable because it's not. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're playing 16, 17 games, I mean, that's only about 65 yards a game as a wide receiver. It's not like it's 200 yards a game to get 1,000. But the problem is guys get injured. They miss 6, 7, 8 games. And now you need 150 yards a game to get 1,000 because you didn't play all of them. So that just shows that he's been able to be healthy and be there and available for his team all these years and stay on the field and play at a high level. And so that's something that the Lions will want. They need a big threat where they can get to the end zone and throw the ball up and a guy can make a play for them and a guy that they can depend on the outside. So we'll see, you know, anything is possible. Like I said, I don't think he'll be there for week one. So now then you start looking at kind of how the season goes, start getting around the trade deadline and things like that. If Tampa's out of the picture already and the Lions are primed for a push, they may say, hey, let's see if we can bolster a little bit to have them ready for the playoffs once we get there and things like that. So we'll just kind of see how it play out.
I think ultimately Mike Evans will end up on another team, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. It's going to be one of those closer to the trade deadline. The Buccaneers are going to They're rebuilding, but I'm sure they're happy if they can win a couple games and start the season strong in a weak NFC South. So I think the ultimate path will be, okay, we were fine if we won. We're not winning those games even with Mike Evans. We may as well just embrace the fact that we're going to stink this year and move on from Mike Evans, get something for him. And at that point, maybe it is the Detroit Lions, but at that point, Jameson Williams is also going to be back. So how will the offense look then? There are a lot of moving parts, and unfortunately for all of those Lions fans desperate for Mike Evans, I think if it happens, it's going to be a month, 2 months before it does.
Yeah, and I don't think Jameson Williamson coming back would affect Mike Evans because I feel like Mike Evans is an older guy. I mean, I don't, you know, yeah, he probably would want a lot of money, but he's an older guy. Jameson Williams only in year two. He's a younger guy. You know, Jameson Williamson won't really be up for a contract for another 3-4 years. You know, if they pick up a fifth year option, they don't have to pay him for a while. I mean, I see they're talking with Jared Goff, so they're gonna have to give him some money. But outside of that, I mean, Amon will be up in a couple years, and Jameer is he's not getting money for a while. And I mean, you look at the guys that they got to pay, and they're paying, it's like, okay, they may have some money or some assets that they can use. But I think, you know, when you have a Mike Evans on one side and a Jameson Williams on the other side, that just opens up stuff for more guys. You know, you can't double team Jameson, so that gives him big play threat. You can't double team Mike, you know, so that gives a threat. Then that opens up more things for Amon underneath. And then Jameer, like, you can't have enough weapons. And so if they got an opportunity to get Mike and it could work out for him, I think they go make a run for it. But also that depends on how Marvin Jones is playing. And, you know, if he's playing at a high level, then maybe you don't even need to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that could shake out. The Buccaneers could be good enough that they don't want to trade Mike Evans. The Lions offense could be good enough without Jameson Williams. And then when Jameson Williams returns, that they don't want to give it up. There's a lot of pages left in this story before it comes to an end. But the first story we have to tell is Kansas City Chiefs versus Detroit Lions. Any final thoughts, any things that you really want to be keeping your eye on for KC versus the Lions? Or what do you think the final score is going to be if you have a guess?
Well, I think this game is going to come down to like I said, probably two to three things, right? Defensively for the Lions, can they keep Patrick Mahomes in the pocket and not give up big plays? Point blank, period. Can they avoid the two or three play 65-yard drives for touchdowns, right? Giving up big plays over the top will hurt you. You don't want to get into a scoring matchup with Patrick Mahomes. Although Jared Goff did win, I think, the last scoring matchup against Patrick Mahomes, although he was with the Rams on an epic Monday night game, I think. I think the Rams did win, what, 51-45 or something like that?
Something like that.
And Jared Goff was the quarterback. So he has outdueled Patrick Mahomes. But we don't want to win. We don't want to get in those type of battles. So let's keep the big plays off of us and force them to go the long, hard way. Second of all, offensively, can't turn the ball over. Can't get yourself behind the downs. You got to stay ahead of the chains. Stay ahead. Don't turn the ball over. And that'll give you a chance. So offensively, I'm going to say keep the big plays off of us. Well, can't defensively, keep the plays off of us. Offensively, don't turn the ball over and stay ahead of the chains. And if we do that, I think, you know, it's I don't feel like I can pick against the Lions. So I'm going to go the Lions win 37-34
for the Detroit Lions. 1-0 to start the season. Cannot wait. Fingers crossed that your prediction comes true. Glover, thank you so much. It's a pleasure, as always, chatting with you. I am so excited for what's to come this season. Any pluggables to plug? Any parting words?
Oh, man. Nah, man. Do whatever you got to do, man. This is a different year. I even got to figure something out. You know, it's Sunday Tickets on YouTube TV right now. So figure out a way to get everything settled and scheduled so you can enjoy this opening week of football. I mean, Thursday night is going to be a big night, and then you get a couple of days of college football, and then Sunday is going to be a big day. So it's a happy time in America right now. We're getting out of the 100-degree temperatures in here in Houston. So things are falling into place. And so let's be excited for the opening of NFL season. And to all the guys out there, man, stay healthy. Good luck to everybody. Hope everybody have a great season. And see how it go.
That's all from us as we preview the Detroit Lions versus the Kansas City Chiefs in week one. We will be back to recap the matchup after it takes place, after the Lions get the win that Glover Quinn has predicted. But until then, we will see you next time.
Peace.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.